Welcome to the 12 cast, the official podcast of the 12 point. To learn more, visit at the 12 point on Instagram. And now, let the show begin.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to The Deuce Cast, presented by The Deuce Point. My name is Rain, a member at TDP, and I'm so excited to welcome you back to another episode of Is It a Hot Take, where we're going to be looking at some of the amazing songs for Eurovision 2024. Today, we have four amazing songs to look at. We'll start off with the United Kingdom, who have sent Ollie Alexander with the song Dizzy. Then we'll look at Greece, who have sent Marina Sati with the song Zari. Then Austria, who have sent Colleen with the song We Will Rave. And lastly, Switzerland with the song The Code by Nemo. So without further ado, let's jump right in. So that was a sample from the United Kingdom, who have sent the amazing Ollie Alexander with the song Dizzy. And for those who don't know, Ollie Alexander is one of the most famous British musicians from the band Years and Years. Back in the day, I'm acting like this was like a century ago, but Ollie Alexander was known for a lot of like really popular songs. Trying to think of some right now, so mainly known for Years and Years, which I believe ended up going into like just Ollie Alexander a few years ago. Oh yeah, some songs that I remember. So King was a really popular one. Shine, there was so like those, that's just like some examples of some really popular songs, like not just in the United Kingdom but also globally as well. Ollie Alexander is definitely a very famous musician, and that can definitely help with furthering like Televote success, because we saw in 2022 actually when they sent Sam Ryder, who was again a legendary musician. Sam Ryder also had a considerable like social presence at the time, even before Eurovision started. Very famous for amazing like vocals on TikTok. So I think that did definitely help in supporting Televote. Obviously it didn't end up winning the Televote, but did win the jury. So so that could be definitely helpful for boosting Televote success, because of course the Televote does get influenced by things like social platforms as well. So having absolutely no social presence can be pretty detrimental to success in Eurovision. So looking at Dizzy itself, Dizzy is it's an interesting song. I would say like it's just kind of like middle of the road in terms of like the actual song itself. It's like just general generic lyrics. Like there isn't like something too special with the lyrics. Like I can't really like say like, oh, like this is like super like interesting to say. I think it's just like generally pretty general lyrics. I don't know, it's a pretty difficult to find like a good word to say it, because it's not bad by any means. It's just not like super exorbitant lyrics and super like out of the world, out of this world lyrics. It's just good lyrics. But I think that the song itself is a little bit in terms of its production. It's not like, again, nothing bad, but nothing that's super, 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 super like out of like diverse and unique that's gonna help push the United Kingdom above to like back to those 2022 lines. But what I do think is that Ollie Alexander is gonna help the song by just being Ollie. Like we saw in 2022, the song wasn't, I'm not going to say that it was hated, but it wasn't as loved as it was as when Sam Ryder got onto the stage and actually started performing. I think that's when it captured a lot of people's minds that, hey, this song is actually a potential winner. Like, we love this song. Like, it's not that the song itself was bad. It's just some things can only be improved when it's done live. And I think that both Sam Ryder and Ollie Alexander are amazing live performers. I've seen lots of clips of them performing live on stage, and they're just so talented. So I think what's going to happen is they're going to take the song, which is kind of like in the middle right now, and give it some amazing staging. They're going to give Ollie a chance to spotlight his vocals. I think it's going to be something that's going to carry the United Kingdom back up to a higher place again. Unfortunately, Mae Muller with the song... I wrote a song. I'm keep forgetting all of these song titles. But last year, Mae Muller had an amazing song that was studio produced. But when translated onto the stage, it was a little bit not great with the vocals. It was improving. But again, you only do get like a few times to get it right in Eurovision. Like, you can either like perfect it at the pre-shows, and then you have the rehearsals, and then if you're in a semifinal, you can perform in the semifinal. Otherwise, it's just more rehearsals and then the final. So really, even if it is progressing, it's not like you have like weeks and weeks to keep performing. It's not like the X Factor or something where you get multiple chances to keep performing. You only really have a few opportunities to go on stage and run the entire thing in front of people, especially. It has to be like pretty well run and done together by the time it gets to Malmö in May. So I think that it was a good decision to select someone like Ollie Alexander, who's really good at dominating the stage with like excellent presence and really just making a song into a new world, almost like it's like transporting you to another planet. I mean, like, even songs that have seemed a little bit mediocre by just listening to them have been massively elevated by good stage presence. There's so many examples that fall under this category. However, I think that you do need to improve your staging 100% as well. Again, there's only so much an individual can do. And again, we've seen that. We've seen, like, for example, last year, Delia, Iceland, for the song Power, had amazing stage presence, completely captivated the audience just being herself. But the staging was a little bit subpar, and that kind of possibly led to people just not being super interested in the song. Or either that, or there was a lot of, like, girl bops in that semifinal to begin with. But I think that more enhanced staging could definitely have helped Delia qualify to the final. So I think it's not just being a sole performer that's going to carry you through. It's going to have like a somewhat decent song. Like, you have to be a great performer, and you have to have something that elevates the overall package as well, because you have, like, putting together a Eurovision song is like a package of different components. You need a good song, you need a good staging, you need good stage presence. All of these things need to work together, and doing so would give you the best opportunity to do well. And I think that so far, Alexander at least meets one of these, stage presence. Of course, we know that Alexander has an amazing live vocal, so that could definitely help boost up the song. And then hopefully the United Kingdom does invest in good staging. They usually do. Even if the song is not great, they usually have decent staging. Like, last year they had like that whole like platform and everything that was really great. 2022, of course, like the entire like astronaut theme. 2021 with the giant trumpet. So the United Kingdom does know how to put on a good stage show. It's not something like that we're too concerned about. It's just more concerning about how it's going to resonate with voters. Again, United Kingdom is a big five country, so they don't have to worry about televote-only semifinals. And I do think that they're going to get a lot of jury support. It's just about bolstering more televote success as well. Because I think that Alan Alexander has massive tellable potential. It's just about finding that right mechanism in order to enable it. And yeah, I think with that, that would be the best step in order for him to take in order to get the best possible score at Eurovision this year. And I think, again, because United Kingdom is performing in the final only, they don't have to perform in the semifinals. I think that's going to definitely help them get a little bit more confidence, see what they're up against. So, yeah, I think they're going to finish top 15 in the juries and top 15 in the televote. Now, I don't know where exactly, but I do feel like they're going to finish top 15 in both. And that means that they're probably going to finish, again, top 15 overall. I'm going to say maybe 13th to 15th. I don't think it's a top 10 song, but I also don't think it's going to be where it was last year. I don't think it was going to be where it is in 2022, nor do I think it's going to be where it was last year. I think it's going to be kind of in the middle of both of them. It's going to get a lot better closer to May, hopefully, but I don't think it's going to get on the same level of Spaceman, unfortunately. But I do think that the song has massive potential. I think that Ollie will elevate it much more than it was done in the video. So with that, massive congratulations to Ollie Alexander. Can't wait to see your performance in Malmö. And now it is time to move on to Greece, who have sent Marina Sati with the song Zari. So that was a sample of Greece this year, who have sent the amazing Marina Sati with the song Zari. And this is an example of a song that, while at first listen I didn't really like, is definitely getting better after each listen. I think that Greece is possibly said one of the most experimental, but it somehow works really well. It definitely does give Rosalia vibes. I know some people would find that statement a little bit controversial, and that's our hot take for today. But I do think that Marina Sati does give a lot of like very similar vibes to Rosalia, and that's great. I love Rosalia, and I think that it's really great that artists are taking the opportunity to be a little bit more experimental this year. We're seeing a lot of songs that kind of break the unconventional norm, and we're going to get to another one today. But yeah, it's really cool that artists shift those boundaries and go beyond typical genre and really create their own genre. We've seen the same thing with like Bambi Thug, and they have kind of said that they've created like Ouija pop, which I still don't know what that is, but they said that that's their genre, and I think that's super cool. Again, versatility, diversity, flexibility, it's always great components to be as an artist. And yeah, I'm like, honestly, at the beginning I did not understand what Zari was about, but now I'm like kind of getting a little bit more into the song and I'm understanding a little bit more, and I think that it definitely has a lot more potential than I was initially giving it credit for. So yeah, Greece, just like all the other songs today, has been selected by an internal selection. And this, they were revealed very early on this year. They were the third artist. So yeah, she was chosen by ERT, which is the Greek broadcaster, on October 24th. Yeah, so they last year, I believe there was like a little bit more like controversy with the way that they selected it. So I think they just simplified the selection process. And yeah, Marina Sati actually has some really good songs outside of Zari as well. I have some knowledge of some of the other ones, like I like Tukutum. I know people don't really like it that much, but I like Tukutum. I like Bali. And yeah, there's like a few other songs that are really good. Marina Sati really works on that like experimental genre as well, like really bringing in those like ethnic vibes from like Greece, but also combining it with like a little bit more like, I don't really know how to describe Zari, but it's just kind of like really like different, and different isn't always a bad thing. And I think that I think that that's like a good thing that they're choosing something a little bit different, because that can help it to definitely stand out on like the Eurovision stage. Because despite what people are saying this year, it's actually a really difficult second semifinal. Like Greece is going to be having to be, so they're already drawn in the first half, which isn't great. But now they're going to be having to face off against Albania, Armenia, Austria, Czechia, Denmark, Malta, Switzerland, Belgium, Estonia, Georgia, Latvia, Netherlands, Norway, San Marino. So yeah, it's definitely going to be really difficult to have to go and stand out in like all of those songs as well, especially because there are some songs that I would argue could bring that like same energy. Especially Georgia, they haven't released it yet, but I think that Firefighter could definitely bring something similar to Greece's Zari as well. I think as well, Besa, who is changing the song to Titan from Zemrendore, but that's for after the Is It Hot Takes episodes. But again, both Albania and Georgia could give Greece a little bit of a run for its money, because they are going to probably give something that's a little bit similar. And again, I am super happy with the fact that Greece did choose to A, send something in Greek, because Greek is an amazing language, and I love it when it's in songs. But and B, I love how they chose to go like off the beaten path. But yeah, I am a bit worried if they're not able to execute proper staging. And of course, they don't have Cyprus there to give the 12 points anymore. Although, I don't even know if that was going to happen this year, because after all the drama that ensued last year with Greece giving Cyprus only 4 points, how is Cyprus going to feel after after hearing that this year? So yeah, I think it's pretty interesting how things like how it's going to look this year with Greece. And again, performing in the first semifinal, I mean, performing in the second semifinal could definitely have its benefits, but also it's going to probably be really difficult, because right now none of these songs actually have the potential to definitely not qualify. Unlike the first semifinal, where I could see possibly two or three songs that are already like, I don't think they're going to qualify. I can't say anything about semifinal two. All 15 songs have the potential to qualify to the final. So now it's just going to be a pretty difficult decision to see which 10 do qualify and which don't qualify this year. But again, all songs have great potential, and Greece is one of the same as well. What I really like about Greece as well is the fact that it like kind of also brings that connection back to like home, and the idea of like connecting to home as well. There's a few good lyrics that like connect to what like I'm meaning by this as well. So Zari, of course, in English means dice. So there's like a line like, I wish pain doesn't reach us, I fall and roll like dice, and like really like using the metaphor of dice to kind of explain the possibilities of fate and chance, and where is dice gonna take you, where is the wind gonna roll the dice. And I think that like this metaphor, although people are probably again not gonna dig deep into this, I think that is really well put together, and I think that it's a really well composed set of lyrics. And I think like because it leans into a lot of like the tourism aesthetic, like with the video, like I think it shows like Marina being a tour guide, and even like the cover album is like a shirt, it's like a t-shirt and saying like Greece 12 points or something. And yeah, I think it's like just like a really creative concept, but I think the lyrics really well symbolize the idea that like fate is like unknown. Change is going to take us into many different places, and yeah, I think there's a lot of things that we don't understand about everything around us, and it's kind of like a symbol of letting change bring what it wants. Like there's the line that says like and let it bring us whatever it wants then, let it bring us whatever it wants then, and suddenly everything changes around me. And it's kind of just like recognizing the fact that as the dice roll, things change so fast that we're almost transported into a new world where we can really not understand it before it happens. And that's just really powerful lyricism. And again, on the 3 minutes that people are going to have to look at the song, I don't think people are going to be able to unpack that unless they really lean into the dice metaphor, which I doubt they're going to do. I think they're going to go with something similar to the video, which would be really cool. I'd love to see that on stage. But I think that would be really, it would be a really cool idea, to kind of show off some of that symbolism, because the lyricism and the writing is really impeccable here. And yeah, I really do hope that ERT does invest some good money into the staging. I think that this song is definitely a grower right now. It's kind of like in that like lower middle position, but I think that just because all of the songs are so well put together this year, that it's kind of difficult to say, hey, I really like this song, but I don't know where to put it. And that's kind of where I'm feeling right now, because all of the songs are kind of like in that really good position. It's kind of just like a race to the top. Yeah, so I would say that this song definitely has a lot more potential than I'm giving it right now. And speaking of potential, let's talk about where I think it's going to finish in the final, because I do think that it's going to qualify. I think it's maybe going to finish around 7th to 9th in qualification. It's not a safe qualifier, but again, I don't think it's going to not qualify. I think it's going to finish around 7th to 9th. And then in the final, I think it's going to finish mid-table again. I know I'm saying a lot of songs are going to finish mid-table, but that's also because I don't want to overshoot anything. I don't want to say, oh, something's going to come top 5. And then something bad's gonna happen. So I'm keeping it safe and saying 7th to 9th in the final. I mean, 7th to 9th in the semifinal, and then maybe top 15 in the televote, and then top 20 in the juries. I think it's just gonna fall somewhere in between there. I think this song definitely has the potential to bring something super special and something a little bit more wholesome to Eurovision as well. I know the song works in a little bit more diverse and more alternative lyrics, but I think if you look at the core of the words, I think the words hold a lot more significance than we're kind of really looking at right now. And yeah, so congratulations to Marina Sati. Can't wait to see the performance in Malmö. And now it is time to move on to Austria, who have sent Colleen with the song We Will Rave. So that was a sample from Austria, who have sent the artist Colleen with the song We Will Rave. And wow, Austria, year after, okay, well, at least for the past 2 years, you're making the top five. And I absolutely love this song. It's going to be the dance track of the year. Nothing else is going to compare to that. I think that this song is going to definitely bring in the party for Eurovision this year. Super, super, super well produced, really well put together. The song lyrics might be a little bit just like generic, because it's like about like a party, but it's also about like living in the moment, like having a lot of fun. It's like more techno inspired as well. I think that's great, because we love like those really like disco, not disco, techno pop songs. Yeah, I think that Colleen is a very, very, very talented performer as well. She's done that Fuego video, if you've ever seen that, where she was basically covering Fuego by Eleni Ferreira, who represented Cyprus in 2018. And the song was very, very well done, as she was covering it. She can also dance really well, and she just has a very good amount of stage presence. And I think that's definitely going to help in securing not only the televote, but also the jury vote as well. I think there's a common misconception. Juries do sometimes appreciate those more like pop and party songs, if they're well sung, of course. That was the problem. That was Austria's actual, it was their downfall last year. It was that, or not last year, 2 years ago, was that they sent a very, very, very well-produced song, But the artist Pia Maria could not sing, and then they ended up finishing 15th in the semifinal, coming last in the juries. Well, one problem is eliminated, that they don't have to worry about juries this year. It's almost it is going to be a lot easier for Austria to do better now that they don't have juries. Not that they won't do well with juries being there, but I think it's going to give them even more of an edge to do better in the semifinal. Honestly, it's just the lyrics aren't like the best part of the song, of course, but I think that the song already, just from like not even talking about the music video, just listening to the song makes you want to party. I think there's a lot of like really good songwriters on this as well. There was Anders Hretov, who wrote Fades of Black in Azerbaijan 2022, Voices Sweden 2021, Too Late for Love Sweden 2019, also wrote Fuego, so 2018 Cyprus, and also wrote for Azerbaijan 2009. So definitely experienced with a lot of pop songs, a lot of like danceable songs, like Always in Fuego. And then also Jimmy Joker, the notorious songwriter for Sweden, wrote the song for Sweden this year, but also wrote songs last year. The winning songwriter for Tattoo, wrote songs El Diablo, Adrenalina, Break a Broken Heart. Then also Kill Jay wrote the song I Am What I Am. And lastly, Thomas Stengard wrote other songs, or co-wrote other songs, like Break a Broken Heart, Fade to Black, El Diablo, You Let Me Walk Alone, Only Teardrops. So definitely an award-winning set of songwriters here. And I think that Austria has put a lot of investment into really making sure that they bring the absolute excellence back to Eurovision after a terrible robbery last year. I remember Tay and Selena, Who the Hell Is Edgar, being like I think it was my second last year. One of the best written songs, one of the most creative entries of the past decade of Eurovision. Absolutely loved it, one of the public favorites as well, and then got absolutely decimated by the televote in the grand final because they had to perform first, because they just, I don't know who was responsible for making that decision, but they need to be, not fired, but they need to be talking to, like, there needs to be some conversation, because why did they put Austria last first in the running order last year? And also generally they tend to put songs that they know aren't going to do very well in the first position. Like, they know that they're not probably going to be winners, because they tend to put the songs that have a higher chance of winning closer to the middle, so that way it gives them a little bit more of a chance to do well with the televote. And why they didn't do that with Austria, it still baffles me to this day. Austria did definitely have a chance last year, even looking at the odds. They finished pretty high retrospectively, like in the odds. I think it's because they fell to 14th in the odds. But in the semifinal, even their odds were much higher. They were first in the odds in the semifinal. So yeah, I don't know. I don't like how they refer to odds as like one of the mechanisms for deciding the running order, but there was a lot of songs that they could have put. Like, for example, they could have put Blanka for Poland first. That could have been a perfectly fine song to open up the grand final with. It wasn't like, it didn't have winner potential, and like it could have been the song that they could have just put first. But yeah, I'm still a little bit upset about that. So hopefully they don't do that this year with Colleen. But I think that Colleen does have a lot higher odds to do well this year. Currently Austria is in 11th, but I do predict that that's going to go up. We're seeing a lot of like these like countries that have been generally underrated. Georgia, Austria, Croatia. They're now slowly moving up into, Croatia is actually winning the entire thing so far. Georgia's in 10th, Austria's in 11th. We're seeing a lot of countries that have been historically underrated by the odds. We're seeing like a revitalization, and it's super exciting to see that, this year. I think that the song does have massive danceable potential. Everyone's going to be on the stage. They're going to be, like, not on the stage, hopefully not. that everyone's going to be in the crowd. They're going to be dancing. They're going to be having a great time. The song definitely has like a really great beat drop that it's like super fun to listen to. Even if you're just like doing ordinary things at home one day, just put it on in the background. You'll definitely have a party. I think that's like what it's about too, because Eurovision's supposed to be a party. It's supposed to be a celebration. I think that We Will Rave is definitely going to be something that's like a gonna add to that, because like a rave is like basically similar to a party, and I think that Austria is trying to bring that this year. It's gonna be like that uniting factor, and I think who doesn't love that type of like music? I think everyone's just gonna have a great time while listening to it. Austria, I think, is definitely gonna hopefully invest in some better staging. I would say that the staging last year was a little bit lacked a little bit in terms of like what they could have done. Like, there's so many things that they could have done with the staging that they didn't do, and I think that they should have done. So hopefully that they do something a little bit more with the staging, but then also give Colleen the room to be Colleen, because she can dance, she can sing, she can perform. So utilize that as a mechanism of the staging as well. Like, incorporate Colleen into the staging. I would say like doing something similar to like Cyprus would be in 2018 would be really great. I think it works really well for a song like We Will Rave. And yeah, I think that because it's in Malmö, it does have the production capabilities to be even like super great. So yeah, we're gonna hopefully see Austria do even better than last year. If they don't do as well, I'm gonna get pretty upset, because this is like the second year in a row where Austria is gonna get completely like they're gonna get like robbed by both the juries and the televote. So hopefully we see Austria do better than they did last year, because that was an absolute robbery. And in terms of prediction of the televoting in the semifinals, so again, Austria is going in the first half, so I do fear that they could go first, but I do think they are gonna put Czechia, Aiko first, just because the song does seem like a better opener. They could also put like Albania first, or they could put like Denmark first, but I don't think they're putting Colleen first. I think they're gonna put Colleen closer to the middle, because again, more of a winning chance. They're probably gonna want to go with something that's a little bit less likely to qualify first, because again, televote, recency bias, that's a big thing. I do think that Austria has a chance to come top three in the semifinal. They are going to be competing with songs like Eropapa, Nendest, and Before the Party's Over, and then the next song we're going to talk about for those televote points. But we shall see. Again, this is the very difficult semifinal, and all of the songs that we're talking about today have come from semifinal two. So hopefully this means that we'll see all three of the songs from today qualify. I think that Austria has a definite chance of qualifying. I think they're a pretty safe qualifier. I don't see a world where they're not going to qualify, unless it's another 2022 situation where Colleen absolutely cannot sing the song, but I doubt that. And yeah, I think in the final, this is going to come top 10 in both. And then we're going to see Austria finish in the top 10, which is where they deserve for both this year and last year. I think we're going to see a top 10 result for Austria, maybe even top 5, because I think the song definitely deserves it. It's a super, 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 super well put together song. Very well written, of course, with a great team of composers and lyricists. And Colleen herself is just an amazing performer that is just going to absolutely elevate the song to its highest possible level. So congratulations to Colleen. And it's time to move on to the final song for today. And it is from Switzerland, who has said Nemo with their song, The Code. So that was a sample from Switzerland, who have sent the artist Nemo with their song, The Code. And we have a new winner. I absolutely love The Code. It is my favorite song this year, and it's probably going to remain my favorite song for the rest of the Eurovision year. I absolutely am in love with the production for this Nemo. They're an amazing stage performer. And I absolutely just like when this came out February 29th, and I just like tuned into the video. I wasn't like really expecting too much because I didn't really know anything about Switzerland this year, but this was just absolutely amazing. I don't know how to put it into words how much I absolutely love the song. But I think a lot of people do agree. So far, it's moved into the top three of the odds, and it's pretty well liked amongst most Euro fans at the moment, and for good reason. I think this song is just one of the most creative, I think if not the most creative, like entry this year. I know I did talk about Zari being a bit experimental, but I think that if we're talking about experimental, I think the code actually kind of breaks that record a little bit. Nemo, they burst into like 12 different genres in this. It starts out with like a little bit like similar to Austria of last year. I think that's probably why I like it too. It gives a lot of vibes similar to Who the Hell is Edgar. So like kind of starting out with like that like very staccato, like very like upbeat, like pop almost, and then it breaks into opera. Oh yeah, Nemo can sing in opera. They're super good at it, and that's super great as well. We love hearing opera in Eurovision. So I don't know what it is about opera, but whenever the song has opera, I tend to always put it higher. I think in 2018, my favorite song was La Forza by Elina Necheyeva from Estonia, and her song was entirely in opera. Maybe I just love opera, but I think that the code goes beyond that. And then even more fun, transitions from opera to rap. That is a pretty interesting combination, but somehow Nemo does it so flawlessly that it just like it goes like so it's all taking place on a train, and then there's just like this like there's something that happens to the train. It's shaking, everyone's like in fear, and then it just like launches into Nemo rapping. And I've listened to their previous discography. Like I do know about Nemo's music before they were selected for Eurovision. So I was super happy to hear that they were the ones that were going to be selected. Of course, that before that, I didn't have much like hope for Switzerland this year. But after I heard, oh my god, it's going to be Nemo, I was like so happy. The song also speaks to their experience being non-binary as well, which is something that I relate to as well as a non-binary person. So I think that I can connect to the song as well a lot more personally. And I think that's also why like some things like make a lot more sense on a personal level. I think that this song, it just like transitions between like the different stages of the train, and then Nemo, they move in between the different parts of the train. Their outfits are absolutely jaw-droppingly beautiful and amazing as well. Absolutely in love with like the dresses, with the rap outfit as well, like the little fuzzy bucket hat. Absolutely so well done as well. Like the production quality of the video was like jaw-droppingly amazing. Absolutely love with that as well. The transition between like opera to rap to ballad to like back to pop again, it's just like it was so well done, and everything just fits together so like beautifully. It's just all put together in this like wonderful little like package in 3 minutes, and Nemo just like presents this so well. And then at the end there's like a it's like right after the line, it's like somewhere between the zeros and it's like somewhere between the zeros and ones, that's where I found my kingdom come, my heart beats like a drum, and then it goes straight into opera again. And that's just like a beautiful transition as well. There is like a lot of subtle lyricism as well, like somewhere between the zeros and ones, that's where I found my kingdom come. Zero and one does refer to the binary, so being between the zero and one, and that's where you find your kingdom, so finding yourself between the binary. Again, pretty not subtle lyricism as well if you dig into it, but of course that's a really good choice of lyrics as well. I think that was a really clever lyricism choice as well. Yeah, I'm almost so distracted by like all the genre changes, but I think the lyrics are really great as well. Breaking the code, like finding a piece of yourself each time that you discover more things about yourself. Super, 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 super well, like put together in the song. It's just like really like I'm just like gonna praise it all this time because of course it is my winner. But it just really like it's just really powerful. And yeah, honestly, there was the biggest concern for Switzerland this year was of course their staging and their vocals and how is Nemo going to be able to sing that. But if you ever checked out Nemo's TikTok, you can see they've actually have quite the voice for opera. And I think this means that I have absolutely no worry that they're going to be able to sing the code live on stage, because when I first listened to it, I was like, oh wow, this is amazing, but like how would one be able to sing this on stage? So yeah, that was a big concern, but I think that Nemo's gonna definitely be able to pull this off really well. Yeah, so the songwriting team, actually pretty new to Eurovision. The only person that's actually written a song for Eurovision before was Linda Dale, who of course composed and wrote Queen of Kings for Alessandra last year for Norway. So looking forward to like, well, actually we hear the song already. So yeah, I can hear a little bit, but I was surprised that there was no one that did the songwriting for Austria last year, because it definitely sounds something similar. I think I do have an explanation for that. Before Eurovision, Nemo attended the, or I think the it was the Swiss songwriting camp in Zurich, which usually submits to SRG, which is the Swiss broadcaster, potential Eurovision entries. So some people who were in this were Thea, so who was in Austria's last year, Elsie Bay, and then Linda Dale. So I guess all three wrote the songs for potential entries, and then Linda Dale was the one that ended up winning, and then that was given to Nemo. So yeah, I think that's like a super cool method of selection. I think that just shows why like Eurovision would be like should follow something like Switzerland, or I'm sorry, other broadcasters should follow something similar to Switzerland. Like that seems like a really cool method of selection. So other countries doing international selections, that might be something that they might want to do over the next few years. Yeah, so I remember hearing on social media that they said, unlike other years, so 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023, they will not be sending a mail ballot. I'm super happy that they didn't, because I, as much as I love them, they're getting a little bit like tiring over the past few years. Like Jean's Tears was amazing. But then Marius Baer and Rima Fodor, but they were good, but like they didn't really stand out, so I could understand their placements in the final. But I think Nemo brought something absolutely revolutionary. They brought something super genre breaking, shifting, and it's just like super, 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 super cool to listen to. Definitely understand all the public hype and love for the song. Definitely deserved. Yeah, it's just like a really, really, really spectacular performance. And speaking of performances, the staging and the stage director is going to be Frederik Riedmann. And yeah, if you don't know who that is, he did the staging for a few different really popular songs. One of those being Popular from Sweden 2011, Maps from Ireland 2021, Jezebel from Finland 2022. Cha-Cha-Cha from Finland last year, super popular song, and of course Heroes from Sweden 2015. So I'm actually so excited for how the staging is going to look like, because one thing that most of these songs have in common is they are super creative staging concepts. Like Maps was Leslie Roy running through like this like field, like paper animations almost. Cha-Cha-Cha had of course like the giant box, and then it translated to this giant rainbow stage and breaking out of the box, lasers and everything. Is so cool. And Heroes of course had the animated figure that carried along the journey of Mons's song. So I'm just so excited to see what Switzerland's going to bring this year, because knowing that Frederik Riedmann is going to bring this like amazing staging, plus Nemo being an amazing artist and this amazing song, I think that Switzerland could definitely challenge for the win this year. I think the song just works so well. Everything just fits together, and I think this is time for Switzerland to get that victory. They were robbed in 2021, so maybe this is their chance to make it Geneva 2025. Of course, they are performing in the first half of the second semifinal, which isn't great, but again, I think just like Austria, they're going to be placed closer to the 7th, 8th position. I think that it's not going to be too difficult. I think that I think Nemo could make it top three in the qualification for the or televote for the semifinal. And I think in the final, again, I said they could possibly challenge for the win. So I think top three in the jury, top five in the televote, I think possibly going to be a lot higher. But fingers crossed that they do win, because the song is definitely winner potential and I absolutely love it. It's my favorite of the year, and yeah, massive congratulations to Nemo. Amazing song, and is my personal favorite and the only song I'm going to give 100 out of 100 or 10 out of 10. So with that being said, that is the conclusion of today's episode, and I really hope you like listening to my reviews of those four amazing songs. If you want to hear some and see some amazing Eurovision content, head on over to @thedusepoint on Instagram. That is @thedusepoint. I really hope you enjoyed listening, and can't wait to see you back in the next episode.